As always, thanks for listening in today to our Friday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
You don't understand.
I do understand. Doesn't mean I have to go through exactly steps 1 through 10 of what you've gone through and whatever your trial or whatever your temptation is. But others have. And what you're going through is common. And God has allowed it to come your way because this is His way to develop you as you journey in your walk with Christ. And He tells us right now, God is faithful, who will not allow for you to be tested beyond what you're able. But with that temptation or testing will also make the way of escape. There is a way to get through this.
There's no way out of this.
Yes, there is. Because I believe God, I don't believe you. I believe God, that you may be able to bear it.
I can't get through this. I can't do it.
Yes, you can, and we're here to help you. You're not here to bear it alone. And we will walk with you in the direction that God has given, not walk with you in the direction He has not given. That we won't walk you through. We'll be there for you. We'll love on you, but we can only walk you through the way that God has provided, and we will not walk with you any other way. Know that. And through that testing, yeah, you will always be tested in the fifth one there, verse 10. How are you handling that testing? Are you complaining? It's a good question to ask. We're not here to beat you over the head, stop whining, stop crying. We're not going to tell you that. I will tell you this, the Holy Spirit certainly will. Holy Spirit certainly will. And so, again, understand when we see Israel go through what they're going through, we could say, you bunch of whiners. 3 days ago, God just brought you through, and now you're complaining about this? What has God done for you in the last week? If you can't answer that question, there's something wrong with your understanding and your relationship with the Lord. Because His mercies are new every day. His grace, His love, His mercy He has poured out. And you should be able to thank the Lord. There's a reason why God's word says rejoice sometimes. Oh, I don't recall seeing that. It says rejoice what? Always. Pray without what? Ceasing. In everything give thanks. And here's the kicker. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What? I just don't know what God's will is. Okay, well, you do. It's to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. Sometimes. No. When times are good. No. I would say especially when times are difficult. Because by doing these things, it's going to change you. To give a sacrifice of praise, like it says in Hebrews 13, can only really happen when you don't feel like it. That's a sacrifice of praise. To be able to say like Job says, He giveth, He taketh away, blessed in the name of the Lord. That's a sacrifice of praise. Everything's been stripped from him. His family taken away, dead. All his possessions taken away. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. That's a sacrifice of praise. That's a sacrifice of praise. So the Israelites, they believe, they worship, there in chapter 15. We saw that. They believed what God did. They sung this marvelous song. So what's next after this amazing saving faith? It's sanctification, the long, hard, difficult process of being conformed to the image of God. And the process is not immediate. It takes time. So what does God do in order to sanctify? He leads them into the wilderness. He does that. We're told in chapter 14 of Genesis that he leads and guides them by the pillar of cloud of his presence night and day. Fire at night, pillar of cloud by day. He leads them on this journey, and he is the one that leads them out into the wilderness. So we have verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. Now, knowing where the wilderness of Shur is located, I believe, is going to tell us a lot whether we're tracking correctly or not. And so if this map here is right, then everything that I've shown you so far is wrong. They have Shur right here, the wilderness of Shur, the desert of Shur. They have right here because they see going through the Red Sea as the Sea of Reeds, somewhere right here around the Bitter Lakes, or a little stream that goes from the Red Sea to the Bitter Lakes. They crossed over that, and so they're immediately in the wilderness of Shur here, okay? And you can see the close proximity of everything kind of right in this area. Most maps of this region have that there because of the higher critics that came later on and don't really believe in miracles, and so they have to come up with a logical explanation of how they were able to cross over. And so they call the sea, the Red Sea, the Sea of Reeds, the Bitter Lakes area, and then they kind of make up from there where all these other areas is that the Bible talks about. But the interesting thing is that the Hebrew word for Shur, it means wall, okay? Means wall. Now, they would say, well, there's a bunch of outposts there, as they cross the Sea of Reeds, there's an outpost there, a couple of outposts, which really speaks of the Egyptian wall of people coming and going and being able to come in for trade and all that kind of stuff. I say horse pucky. So, in Genesis 25:17, it says, these were the years of the life of Ishmael. 137 years, he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. They dwelt from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt as you go towards Assyria. He died in the presence of all his brethren. Now, the Hebrew word far as is ad, and it means as far as or up to or even to. I would suggest in context, because of what the word Shur means, okay, I would say it's better to interpret that up to. You go up to a wall, okay? And so because of that, it can now be said they dwelt from Havilah up to Shur. You're going to see the wisdom in that, okay? And so the descendants of Ishmael dwelt from Havilah up to Shur, which is east of Egypt, we're told here. Okay, look at that. And it says here, which is east of Egypt. Okay, east of Egypt. All right. So the descendants of Ishmael dwelt from Havilah up to Shur, which is east of Egypt, as you go towards Assyria. So then Shur is east of Egypt. Not north, like we showed on that other map, as they just go out. Okay, it's going to be east of that area. Okay, not right outside of Egypt, which they show here. Now, to just put a pin in that for a moment. In Judges 8, 22 through 24, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, speaking of where Midian is and things like that. But again, I need for you to see this. Verse 22, then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your son, and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Then Gideon said to them, I would like to make a request of you, that each of you would give me an earring from his plunder, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. Just fought the Midianites, but he's calling them here Ishmaelites. And because they all had earrings, the bounty that they took, you know, was the earrings out of their ears, stuff like that. He's
asking for that. Okay? And so here we're told that the Midianites were Ishmaelites. In their history, they intermingled in marriage, and they become known as one and the same. And so these names are used interchangeably. Now, go to Genesis 25, okay? Go to Genesis 25. Here we get these landmarkings that are so important to understand, because if you do, you will have a greater understanding where the Exodus route takes place. So here in chapter 25, verse 1, it said, Abraham again took a wife. So Sarah has died. He takes another wife, and her name was Keturah, which means incense. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian. So the Midianites come from Keturah, all right? So she has all these other sons by Abraham. Abraham has a lot more sons here from Keturah, okay? And then verse 4, the sons of Midian were. So mentions those people right there. And so, but then it says in verse 5, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gift to the sons of the concubines. That would be Keturah and Hagar, okay? Which Abraham had while he was still living. He sent them, what? Eastward. So all the offspring of Hagar, Ishmael, as well as Keturah and her offspring, Midian, and all the other ones that are mentioned, are all being sent eastward, okay? Away from Isaac's son to the country of the east. So they're all going eastward from where Isaac is, which is in the south part of Canaan. Dave, how do you know that? Because in verse 11, it says, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai-Roi, which is in the southern part of Canaan. Okay, a little bit further south from Hebron. All right? So if that's where he's dwelling, and God sends everybody eastward, well, where is east of Beer Lahai-Roi? It's not Egypt. That's south. It's not anywhere in the Sinai Peninsula. That's south. That area that we show, the wilderness of Shur, that's south. And yet that is not where the people dwelt. From Havilah to Shur. That's in the east. So that area that they're showing that you see on a lot of maps, biblical maps and stuff like that, it's because they believe that the Red Sea crossing actually happened at the Sea of Reeds over there. That's what. But God's word makes it very clear here that the people of the east that he sent all the descendants there, the Ishmaelites, the Midianites, all the other the people of the east that came from these tribes, all dwelt to the east of the land of Canaan, not down there in the Sinai Peninsula at all. So, because of that, the country to the east there, this is where we know that Midian is. Midian, here's the Gulf of Aqaba. They cross over about right here. They come down this way. This is where Moses fled to as he came from Egypt around and over in this way. He dwelt in this area of Midian here. You know, the interesting thing about Midian being over in this area on the west of the Gulf of Aqaba is the fact that in 1965, I believe it was, and afterwards, and since that time, they have discovered all sorts of pottery shards of the Midianites. You know where they have not discovered pottery shards from the Midianites? On the east side, or I should say the west side of the Gulf of Aqaba. Nowhere in the Sinai have they discovered any of that. Nowhere do they see any signs of the Midianites over there. Okay? But they do have it over here, through this whole area right here. Which would tell you that's where Moses went to. And that would tell you also, this is the area that Mount Sinai is, which is up here. Jabal el-Moza. Right there. So,
So this is what we know. So if that's the case, then Mount Sinai, the Sinai Peninsula, Mount Sinai cannot be in the Sinai Peninsula. The wilderness of Shur, when they come through the Red Sea, cannot be anywhere in the Sinai because that is south of Canaan. It's not east. It's not east. Now remember that the Hebrew word here for Shur is wall, okay? So is there a wall east of Egypt as you go to Assyria? Yeah, so here's Yam Suf. This is where they would have come in right here. This is the wilderness of Shur right here. Here is the mountains right here. Here's a wall of mountains. You come over this way, okay, and you go from Egypt over here, up here above the vent, okay, and then you come down this way, and you hit a wall as you go where? To Assyria, okay? There's a literal wall there of mountains. Mount Seir is there, and Shur means wall. Again, another clue of exactly where all these things are taking place. They dwelt from Havilah to Shur, the wall. There's a wall this side, but as you're coming up from Havilah up this way, you see the wall of mountains as you come from this direction as well. So as they went from Canaan down here to the east to populate this area right here and down and around into Saudi Arabia, guess what? As you're coming up from Havilah to Shur, you'll see the mountain wall on this side, just like as you see it from this side going to Assyria. So yes, there is a wall east of Egypt as you go to Assyria, just like the Bible says, which is east of Egypt as you go toward Assyria. Okay, the word wilderness means uninhabited. So means uninhabited. So right here is a crossover, the wilderness of Shur. To be uninhabited means that there is no permanent community there. Okay, it does not mean that you can't travel through there, that there's not a temporary stop along the way. It just means that no one lives there on a permanent basis. It just means that there's no town, no signs of domestic living, no community well, stuff like that. There still could have been a water source. Wadis capturing the water in the mountains. It's a place that people can go back and forth, but there's no major road through it, okay? That's what uninhabited means. That the word wilderness is midbar. It means uninhabited. It means that people haven't settled there yet, domesticated the place yet. There's no human occupation. Now, again, this next map here shows you this. So, again, this is about where they crossed over here. This would be the wilderness of Shur, right in this area here, because you have Shur right there, the wall, okay? And so, again, as you come from Egypt here, eastward, you would hit this wall. And it goes all the way to the Dead Sea, that wall of mountains right there. All the way to the Dead Sea. So the only way to get through that leads you over here to Assyria, okay? Going toward Assyria, towards the east. This is east. Egypt to the east, that's directly east right there, all right? That's east. And that'll hit you to Babylon and Assyria and things like that. Everything that the Bible says lines up for this. For you to make this the wilderness of Shur here, is to say, I don't care what God's word says. If you're going to say this is the wilderness of Shur, what you're saying is, I don't care what God's word says. I'm smarter than God's word, and this is where we think it all took place. It's amazing to me, the arrogance of man. And so all this to biblically say that I think we're on the correct route, and I can say that I'm pretty sure. So continuing on here, it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And so again, no sooner had they finished their song of victory that God, through Moses and through his cloud, leads them into the wilderness of Shur, where there is no water. So what do we see here? we see that God will indeed lead you to a place that is barren. He will indeed lead you to a place of difficulty. And so, easy to sing the songs of victory after seeing God do such a marvelous work. It's quite another thing to sing the songs of praises when things are difficult. To trust God in everyday life is what they need to see. And can we show trust and be grateful even though we're in a place that is barren? And I do believe the church today is living in the wilderness. We have seen Jesus do an amazing thing like the Red Sea. We have seen God send his son Jesus to die for the sin of mankind. And so we receive Jesus. That is the Red Sea experience that they experienced. We have seen God take us from death to life through the sacrifice of his son. And the moment we received Jesus, that was our Red Sea experience. But how long since that time do we find ourselves, God trying to sanctify us, bring us into everyday living, where he is going to bring us and drive us to a place of want? And how long does it take before we start to mumble and complain and murmur? We read about Paul and Barnabas about returning from Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, and they strengthen the disciples. They're saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. How wonderful that they were able to encourage and strengthen them by telling them, hey, you're going to have to go through some suffering. Hey, you're going to have to go through some difficulties. Hey, well, and that's absolutely true. And that's the same thing for us too. Okay, same thing for us too. The Israelites traveled 3 days. At the end of the 3 days, no water. Again, this tells you that God sometimes will drive you and lead you to a place that's very dry. A place where all you can do is cry out to him. And God wants you to cry out to him. He wants you to go to him. Israel was thinking that they were going to go straight into the promised land, straight from grace to glory. Instead, they're led into a desert place, a place of trial, a wilderness, because God's plans have no shortcuts. And the promised land can only come by way of the wilderness, the way of difficulty, the way that purifies. And that's the wilderness. And the wilderness can be a hard place. It's a place where one needs to meet with God. It's a place that's barren and desolate, and distractions are minimal. The Israelites have seen a great salvation, but it was not, and they will now live happily ever after. They still had a hard journey ahead. And the journey was not necessary for their salvation, but it was necessary for their growth in the Lord. It was necessary for their sanctification. And it was necessary for them to conform to the image of God's children. And as you, as a person, can you sing praises and give him glory and be thankful in difficult times? If you can, you're a mature person. And if you cannot, it just shows that you're still immature in Christ. And that's okay. But to recognize it and realize God has called you to grow, to grow. Go over here to Philippians chapter 2.
Those Israelites, bunch of stinking complainers and whiners.
Let nothing ever separate us from the holy love of God.
This Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love has come to a close. Don't miss Monday as we continue our study through Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at a new time of 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.